for us adults, if you want to go grab a coffee, donut, croissant, and you can go and get that. Where's our coffee from this week? Nicaragua. That's right. All right. Can I get a little light there, Lindsay? Yeah, just one is good. Perfect. Awesome. Awesome. All right. How many of you guys were here for all of the life of stewardship? All of them. Or some of them. Hey, guess what? Even if you are, you've missed some, you can still catch up on the podcast. Yes, it's on there. It's on the app. The notes on the app. You can listen to the messages on there, take notes and everything else. But we're going to do a little recap. Okay, recap is good, right? So we can actually get ourselves in the right mind right before we wrap up this series. Okay, this series is going to come to an end, and we're going to do this. This service is going to be the end of a life of stewardship. But a life of stewardship is something that we're going to be talking about throughout the year. But this series, we're going to do this every 3 years or so. Okay? It's something that we need to teach the body of Christ about stewardship. I need to teach my kids about stewardship. How many of you guys, parents, deal with sharing at home? I deal with that a lot. You know how I deal with that? When Micah will come in and will say, "Mine, mine, mine," and I'm hearing him in the monitor getting on to all the kids, "Mine, mine, mine," and guess the way I handle this? Give it to him. You know, I don't want to deal with it. Just give it to him. But that's not the way to handle it, right? Okay, that's not the proper way. You know, you just have to bring a little balance into this. But we need to be taught on how to be good steward. There's a proper way of being a good steward. Steward of what God has given to us. So we're going to do this series every 3 years or so. Wherever we feel like it's appropriate to actually do this, we're going to do it. So week number one, we talk about the heart of stewardship. Okay? We said stewardship is managing of all the resources that God has given to us. Time, talents, finances, health, everything. But it has to start with the heart. We cannot give if it doesn't start there. Right? If it is not, the heart is not involved, it is not part of the purpose of what we're doing, then we might be doing it for the wrong reason. Okay, so it's all about the heart. And in week number two, we talk about stewardship is something that is always tested. God will always test stewardship. All the resources that He provides for us, it's subject to a test. Our time, for example, is tested. How much time do we devote to... I'm going to wave a little bit. This is a camera that the kid, well, it's not on yet, but in the mother-baby room, they're going to be able to see us and hear the message. So I'll wait until you get that plug in and then give me the sign, and I'm going to wave and see if they actually can see me. And in week number three, we talk about putting God first. Stewardship, the essence of stewardship is God is number one. And we talk about this thing called the preeminence of God, which means that God exists before and cannot be second place. God must be first in everything that we do. The preeminence of God is His nature. That's who He is. He cannot be second. He cannot take second place. So we talk about putting God first in our time, in our talent, in our finances, in everything that we do. When we put God first, God is exalted. He would bless what we give unto Him. I signed up at the gym about 2-3 weeks ago. And normally I don't sign in. I just walk in and do whatever I need to do. This time I walk in and Lindsay was like, "I want you to go sign in." I'm like, "Okay." So I went and signed in. And right on the sign-in sheet, was the verse of the day, basically from the Bread of Life that we have out there. So he had one page, and he stuck that right on top there, and he talked about God first. And Lindsay's comment was like, see, even in the gym, God is first. So you can put God first in everything that you do, right? In the way you raise your kids, God can be first. And guess what? In the way you discipline the kids too, God can be first. Right? Okay, God is first in everything that we do. Week number four, we did God's math. God's math is simply this. Little is much when you place it in God's hand. Right? You can have little and God doesn't care about the little that you have. But when you place the little in the hands of the master, it gets multiplied, blessed. You have more than enough to meet your need and the needs of others. I was very proud of you guys for last week, for when Pastor Jimmy came and preached on reaching the world, praying like Elijah prayed. That was the title of his message. You know how much money that we raised to send to him for world missions? $1,600 that we were able to actually send in. He paid his own way to get over here, and he's planning another trip in coming here sometime in June, which he will pay his own way here. But this is the heart. The heart is to reach the lost, to reach the world, and we can reach the world from Kodiak, of all places. You know what I mean? So I was very pleased to see how we place that into God's hand. And actually, I want to see what God is about to do in the year to come, because he's got so many trips that he's got planned to reach countries that probably you and I were probably not going to go to. But yet again, through the seed that we sow into world mission, we are reaching those nations. We are there in the spirit. We are able to touch the lives of those people. So little is much when you place it in the hands of the master. And today's message is on this word. It's called persistence. Persistence is needed for stewardship. Because stewardship is something that must be nurtured, must be ingrained in us. It must be something that we must set into motion. It's like a seed that we plant in the ground. We water that seed. And out of that seed, we're expecting a multiplication. And stewardship is like that. It produces fruits. Stewardship would breed stewardship. Just like generosity, it breeds generosity. When you see somebody being generous, guess what? What's your tendency is? To be generous as well, because you're seeing somebody getting so much joy out of giving, out of serving. And your desire is to do the same. Let me sow as well, because I can see the benefit of sowing. I can see the benefit of serving. So persistence is important in stewardship. Here's a scripture I want you to turn to. It's in Galatians chapter 6. You can turn to it, or I'm going to wave right now. Hopefully they can see me. They don't see me. They can't. And okay, we'll work on that. Maybe for next time. Okay, Galatians 6, 7 and 9 says this. It says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. What simply means is that you cannot mock or come against the principles of God. The principle that is already set into motion. One principle that God has already set in motion that he can never turn back on is the principle of sowing and reaping. The principle of putting a seed in the ground and expecting a harvest. He can't turn his back on that. So we cannot mock that principle that God has set into motion. Just like we cannot mock the principle of gravity, for example. gravity is going to happen. The plane that has gone up at some point in time must come down. It's gravity. God cannot go do something outside of his principle. And God is saying here, we cannot mock that. You cannot mock the justice or the principle of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Is it something good that you planted? You would reap something good. Is it something bad that you planted? It would be something bad that you will reap. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. So when you're doing something that is good, don't get tired of doing it. Keep on doing the good things. That is stewardship. Stewardship doesn't give up. You keep pressing on and you keep doing what God has called you to do, regardless of what you see in the natural. Because a lot of time when we put something in the ground, what do we want to see? We want to see growth. We put a seed, we want to, tomorrow when we come in, we want to see something germinating coming out of that seed. We want to see a little leaf. I want to. When I put something, I don't plant stuff, okay? So, but if I did, I mean, I'm talking about planting like real plants. So I don't do that. Maybe I should. But if I put something in the ground, guess what? I'm going to come tomorrow. I'm going to, where's the seed? What's happened to that seed? We have a tendency to do the same thing. I'm just learning the art of cooking in a crock, not a crock pot, but an instant pot. It's something that you want to, you expect the result right away. So last night, in 35 minutes, I had stew. 35 minutes. I've never done that in 35 minutes. Usually I'm cooking, I'm looking, I'm tasting, I'm adjusting, I'm doing all kinds of things. But this time I didn't have to do anything. I just dumped the whole thing in the pot, and 35 minutes, voila, I ate stew. So we have this tendency of expecting things immediately, happening right now in an instant. But here the Word of God says, when you put the seed in the ground, keep on doing what you're doing. So don't get tired of doing what is good, because at just the right time, there's a specific time that God has set aside for you to be able to see what you're expecting to see. He says, at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't what? If we don't give up. When I put the meat and everything else in the instant pot last night, and I was looking, this is my first time using it, so I'm looking at something to indicate that it was cooking. Guess what I kept saying? What was I kept saying? What's the number? Where's the number? I want to be able to see something beside the word on. I mean, is it on because it's plugged in? Is it on because it's actually cooking inside and I just don't see it? And I was so tempted to just pop that thing open again just to see what was happening inside. You know, because I'm visual. I want to be able to see if that thing is cooking. I don't want to wait till 35 minutes later. I'm timing this thing at the same time, because the 35 minutes later I open this thing and it's still raw. We have a problem. I'm going to be angry. So that's not going to work. So I'm expecting to see something. And that's what we expect to see out of stewardship. Because when we're doing our stewardship week in, week out, and after a while, you know, we're just getting a little tired, a little weary, because we're not seeing the result that we're expecting to see in the time that we want to see it. So here it says, at just the right time. What is the right time? What is the right time? I heard you say this. God's time. It's God's time. That is the right time. What is God's time on that seed that we placed in the ground? And here it says, if we don't give up, we will see that harvest. So the key is to wait for that time and don't quit while you're waiting. That is the key. The key of stewardship is to do what you're doing on a regular basis, repetitively, week in, week out. Just like you take care of your kids. Just like you shower. We do this regularly, repetitively. Otherwise, we'll have a problem. Okay? We will not be getting the result that we're expecting. So we keep doing the things that God has called us to do on a regular basis and wait for that right time. Because when we wait for that right time and we don't give up, we will see what we're expecting to see. So stewardship requires persistence, and there is always a reward at the end. There's always a reward at the end, at that right time. I'm going to tell you a story about the Chinese bamboo tree. How many of you have heard of that story? A Chinese bamboo tree can grow up to 90 feet. That's pretty tall, right? It's pretty tall. And these bamboo trees, they're pretty thick too. I've seen it on National Geographic, okay? And I've seen what they could do with a Chinese bamboo tree. Some of them would cut it down and they would actually steam rice in this thing. Right? You've seen that, right? They steam rice. They put rice in there and they steam rice in a Chinese bamboo tree. They build houses, buildings, and different things that they build with this thing. It's a pretty sturdy thing. Okay? It can go all the way to over 90 feet. But it doesn't grow 90 feet in just like that. No. It starts with a seed that somebody would place in the ground. And it takes a little time to grow. And just like any other plants, the Chinese bamboo tree requires nurturing, water, sunshine, anything that the soil would produce, would give to it so that it can nurture it to grow. It needs every bit of it. Otherwise, it will not grow. First year, one whole year rolls along, there is no visible sign of growth. You don't even see a little leaf coming out. Where you've placed that seed and you've covered it with soil, it is just the same after 1 year. I'll be a little concerned. I mean, it's 1 year. That's 365 days that you've put that seed in the ground and you don't see anything. Second year, guess what? Nothing. You don't see anything on the second year. Third year? Nothing. Fourth year, nothing at all. You don't even see a sign of life. Would you be concerned at that point? I probably will be. I'll be digging a hole and trying to find that seed. What happened to it? But on the fifth year, this is what happens. Something really amazing. In the fifth year, that seed will grow 3 feet in 24 hours. In just 24 hours, you will see 3 feet of bamboo tree. That's impressive. It will grow at a rate of 1.5 feet per hour. If you watch the time lapse on it, if you go home, you can Google that and watch the time lapse on it. You can actually see and hear. People would actually say they can hear the plant grow. It will grow up to 80 feet, up to the max that it can actually reach in just 6 weeks. What would have happened if after year 1, 2, or 3, and 4, you gave up? You just gave up because you did not see what was happening underneath. So if I ask you the question, at what point did that seed start to grow? Is it year number one or year number five? 105. One. Even though you don't see it, it's still growing. It's still being transformed from within that you don't see on the outside. Isn't that what our life should be like? A lot of time God is working from the inside and we are not seeing what we want to see on the outside, but the results are happening from within. It's inside. The Holy Spirit is working from within. And that's the way God works in everything that we do. A lot of time it's not for anybody else to see, but for you to recognize the power of God at work from within. There are certain things that God is doing from the inside that nobody else needs to know. Guess what? It's not even meant for you to share it with anybody else. It is what the Holy Spirit is doing from within each and every one of us. And God is just saying, would you trust the process? Would you stay the course? Would you not pop the lid off that Instant Pot open? Even though you don't see what's happening, it's happening from the inside. It's being cooked from the inside. It's like the Holy Spirit is fueling fire inside of you, changing you, transforming you from within. Maybe nobody else is paying attention to it, but you know. But you know that God is at work in me. That's where it starts. Stewardship would start from within. You would see a good steward, not so much by what they're doing openly, but what they're doing behind the scenes, quietly, doing what they're supposed to do behind the scene, not to get any kind of recognition for what they're doing, but they're just serving quietly. Stewardship starts there. That doesn't mean that you don't get rewarded publicly ever again. But if this is what you're seeking, is just that visible aspect of stewardship, you've missed the point of stewardship. Because remember, week one, we talk about stewardship begins with the heart. No one sees the heart. It's within. But that's where it needs to start. Stewardship in such a way is just like that. It's something that is happening from within. Year number one would pass. No one can see. Two, three, four. But year number five, because you stayed the course, you waited for that right time, for God's time, you will reap the reward because you chose not to give up. So, persistence is required for growth. Persistence is required for bearing fruits. Persistence is required for stewardship. It's required. It's a must. You must be persistent in what you do. You must plan on it. If you don't plan on it, you will not do it. Just like coming to church, it's a plan action. It's a plan thing. I know some just come to church, just, yeah, that's fine. That is perfectly fine. But how about next week? Plan on it. Plan on it. Tell yourself you're going to come to the house of the Lord so that you can hear the word, so that you can experience the change from within. It's a plan thing. You plan on doing what God has called you to do, just like you plan to wake up in the morning. Even though you might not feel like it. Even though you might need to get yourself out of bed and say, yes, I am going to do what I need to do. It's a plan thing. Stewardship is just like that. You got to plan on being a good steward. Otherwise, the enemy will come and rob you. rob you of the time, the opportunity to sow or to be a good steward. Just like in the parable of the talent, we talked about this a few weeks ago. They were all given resources according to the proportion of what they could handle. Different. One, two, three, five. They were given different resources according to the proportion that they can handle. But they all got the same thing, and that was the opportunity to succeed. They all got that the same, because the reward at the end was the same regardless of the amount of talents that they had. Because they all heard this. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful with little here. Let you be in charge of much now. They all heard the same thing, except for the one. Except for that one guy that decided that he was not going to be persistent with what he was given. He's like, you know what, let me just go and take it and hide it. Because eventually I'll just give it back. But the purpose was not to give back the same what you've been given initially. The purpose was for you to use the resources, multiply it, and hand it back to God. Because you were a good steward. That is the purpose of stewardship, is to give back through persistence. So how do we become a persistent steward? How do we develop this persistence in our stewardship of what God has given to us? And here's point number one. Persistent stewardship happens when we are planted. When we are planted, then we can be good steward. Otherwise, we will not be focused on where or how God wants us to steward the resources. We got to be planted somewhere. Psalm 92 says this, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. The house of the Lord is the place where God, where you're hearing the word of God. So the house of the Lord today is Ocean's Church. When you're planted in the place where God has called you, you will bear fruit. You will be fresh and you will flourish. That is the purpose of being planted. Because if you're not purposefully grounded somewhere, you will not flourish. You will not flourish. Just like that seed of bamboo. If that seed of bamboo was not in the soil, it would not have grown. It would not have grown. Even though you're not seeing it right away becoming a tree, it's in the ground and it's doing its job behind the scenes. Being planted is to stay put in the place where God has called you. Being planted has a geographical dot on the map. Now, many of you, the place where you're planted is Kodiak, Alaska. What God wants to do in Kodiak, Alaska, He will not be able to do somewhere else. God cannot do what He wants to do in your life in Kodiak the same that He would want to do somewhere else in North Carolina. He will not. There's a certain level of growth that we must go through, or sometime a level of nurturing and training that we must go through in this season, in this place. And believe it or not, they're all connected. We might not see the reason why we are here until we leave and go somewhere else where God is moving us. Then we're like, huh. There was a reason why I was here. Have you ever gone to a place and you've met people and then you've moved on? And then all of a sudden there was another connection and like, huh, now I know why I got connected with this person. Because in the beginning I had no idea. But then that you've moved on and you're like, huh, there was a reason. That is the reason why God brought the two of us together here. So there are divine connections that God is placing here in Kodiak for many of us. Even when you retire, you go somewhere else. You're still going to remember this place. You're going to remember the friendship that you've had here. You're going to remember the people that you work with. There's a divine connection when you go out there. Who knows? There could be a job that God has got lined up for you. That other place that somehow was connected here in Kodiak. You have no idea. You will not know until you get to that other place. When you get there, then God makes the connection. And He gets the glory for it. It's always been like that throughout our lives, where we've been through England, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Anchorage. It's always been connected. We don't see it until we've transitioned out. And then you're like, huh, now I know why. I know why God brought us together. So nurture those relationships while you're here. Nurture the soil, the ground that you're here for. And it's important because that's part of that growth that you will experience. It's part of the fruit that you will bear, maybe now in this season or maybe later on down the road. You just have no idea when the fruit is going to come. It's in His time that you're waiting on. And the word says, don't give up. At just the right time, you will reap. Don't quit. Okay? And then the second verse that we have in Psalm 1, it says, He shall be somebody who is righteous, somebody who follows Jesus. He says, He is going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruits in its season. See, we are all meant to produce fruits. We are meant to produce fruits in its season. In its season. And then it says, whose leaf shall not wither. And then I like this last one. It says, whatever he does shall prosper. Everything that you want to do in the right season, God will cause you to prosper. You know what the word prosper means? A lot of time we tie in the word prosper with just finances. But the word prosper means push forward. Push forward. I want to be pushed forward by God. I want God to prosper me, pushing me forward in the areas that I want to hold back. In the areas that I want to just say, you know what, I just want to coast here, Lord. I just don't want to do these things. I'm just tired of doing this. But God is going to prosper me. God is going to help me along the way. Prosper me. Push me forward in those areas that He wants me to be transformed. Change. Because change sometimes is hard. We don't want to go through change. But when God is behind us, prospering us, pushing us forward, we are going with a different type of power. A different type of energy. A Holy Ghost power. A Holy Spirit power that is behind us, energizing us to do the things that normally we would not do. But we're going to have to trust that process. And during that process, believe it or not, there will be opportunities that the enemy would bring in for us to be uprooted. The enemy doesn't want us to be grounded. Because being grounded means that we will produce. And the enemy doesn't want us to produce anything that is good. Because his job is to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. And life can only exist when you are planted as a seed. Otherwise, a seed, if it is not planted, is just a seed that is sitting in a jar. I've got plenty of seeds sitting in a jar at home, in the pantry. They're just going to be seeds. Nothing's going to happen to those seeds. They're not going to grow. They're not going to produce anything. They're not going to be transformed from a seed to a plant until I take that seed and I plant it down into a soil. Then if I nurture that seed, eventually I'm going to see that seed grow. I'm going to see a little plant coming out of the soil. And eventually that seed is going to transform into a plant, which eventually going to produce the fruits that I desire. but a seed must be planted. So during the time of when we are planted here in any soil, the enemy will come to steal, to take that time away from us to be planted so that roots can develop. Deep and wide are the roots that God wants to develop in our lives so that we can go deep, grounded where in the place where he wants us to be grounded, and effective in the place where he wants us to be effective. But the enemy will come in and will try to tarnish or rob us of the quality of that soil. And usually offense will come. We will get offended in that soil where God has placed us and say, you know what, Lord, I just don't want to be here. I just don't like these people. I would rather be somewhere else. And that's the choice. But whenever we do this, we uproot ourselves from the place and we are going somewhere else. Guess what happens when a plant gets uprooted? A lot of them die. They don't grow as effectively as God intended for them to grow at the same rate if they were uprooted. Just like that seed in the bamboo tree. What if on the third year, because we're not seeing what we're expecting to see, we dug that seed out? And then we're like, oh, you know what? It's still alive. Oh no, what have I done? And then we go to another soil now and we plant that seed in. It goes through what they call a shock. That seed will take even longer. That seed could eventually even die because of the shock that seed has gone through. Not able to sustain because it sucked out the life out of it. Because we did not wait for that God-appointed time, just the right time. We are waiting for our own time because we did not see what we were wanting to see, and then we just took it out. It's the same thing with a crock pot, with an instant pot. We can abort that meal just like that because we can't see what is happening on the inside. I didn't know I was going to have an instant pot kind of message today. It just came. So I got to roll with it. But you got to be intentional about staying put in that soil because you can easily talk yourself out of the soil. You can easily justify being uprooted and go somewhere else instead of the place. Because you can easily do this, and we do this in our Christian walk all the time. Come up with justification of why we must be somewhere else instead of the soil. Be planted. The key is to be planted. Be planted in the place where God has called you to be. The other one is persistent stewardship. Requires nurture. It says in James chapter 5, it says, the earnest, persistent prayer of a righteous person has great power. And guess what it does? It produces wonderful results. The persistent prayer of a righteous person has great power. And it produces great results. That is the purpose of us nurturing what God has given to us. What we treasure, we nurture. Whatever we treasure the most, we will nurture. Just like our children. We treasure our children because we treasure, we nurture. Nurture means you pour out everything into it. When God has given us a dream, a vision, it is not just to write it down and put it somewhere and say, oh, you know what, I just had a dream about something. But we must nurture that dream, that vision. And the way we nurture it is to pray over it, is to do the things that God is calling us to do. Do it persistently. regularly. Whether we understand it or not, we just do it. It's like clockwork. You wake up and you do it. You wake up and you pray. You wake up and you read. You read like you're teaching your kids. All of these, they must come like in a systematic way. You are persistent. You are earnestly praying and seeking God. And through that, it will produce great results. I read a book called Prayer Circles by Mark Batterson. And he talked about going around and making a prayer circle around what you believe. A few months ago, we were at Ardinger's. And many of you know this, some of you don't know. I used to go around and make a prayer circle around that block every morning. Sometime while they are practicing out there, I step outside and I make a round around the building, just the building, because I don't have time to go around the block, so I just go around the building. I make a few rounds around it, and while I'm making this round, it's like a prayer circle that I'm drawing around. It's a spiritual thing, okay? It's not just like I'm drawing a circle. I'm going around and I'm praying over the building. I'm praying over the service. I'm praying over different things that I've got, God is laying on my heart. During the weekday, I would go and make a prayer circle around the block. Around the whole Marine Way, I will make a circle around it. And while I'm making this circle, I'm praying. I was praying for this. I did not see it. I did not know where we were going to go. But I was praying for this. I was like, Lord, show us where we need to go. Because we have outgrown that place. There are more lives that are at stake. There are people that need to hear the word. There are many unchurched people that need to be reached. Show us the place. So I kept going around and making my prayer circle. I believe this place here is the fruit or the result of that prayer circle. While I was doing it in the rain, in the wind, I did not feel like it. I did not see it. I didn't know. But I knew that I must be persistent in nurturing that vision. I believe God saw your faces already. He knew the people that must come to this place, this soil, to be planted here. I did not know, but He knew. He knew each and every one of you by name. He knew the Marlowe was going to be here. You were not even on the island, but He knew. That is the nurturing that sometimes we push that aside because we are not understanding or fully understanding what God is up to. Because we all want to know what God is up to. A lot of times, we are not privy to that information. We don't understand because God cannot reveal. Even if He did, I certainly would not have understood what He was saying at that time. Because that was not even on the radar. This place was brought to us while Don was watching a soccer game. Our kids were out there playing soccer game, and then all of a sudden there was a connection made. It was not intentional, but it was people meeting in the right place at the right time. We could not have planned it because when I came here in 2015, guess what? I thought about this place. But I was like, no, it's not going to work. That's not right. That's not the right place. It was not the right place at that time. There was a appointed time. There was a God time. There was a just the right time. So 2018 was just the right time. So I believe we need to make another prayer circle around this neighborhood, around this place. Because I believe it's time, don't you think, for us to make another prayer circle? It might be a year, It might be 2 years. It might be 3 years. It might be 4 years. We just don't know. But if we are persistent in doing it, if we are consistent in following the voice of God, we will see it. If we don't quit, if we don't give up, if we trust God to bring in the result that He wants, not the result that I want. Because in everything that I've talked about, one thing that I've learned to do is to take myself out of the equation. I got to take myself out of it. I said, Lord, I want it to be done your way, not my way. That doesn't mean that you don't plan on things. That doesn't mean that you don't do the things, the practical things that God is asking you to do. But you got to leave the result to Him. In other ways, like, don't try to make it happen. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, let me get in connection with this person because this person has clout, he's got a good reputation. If I get close to him, maybe he can make it happen for me. Don't do that. You don't have to do that. At the right time, God will establish the connection. It might be at a soccer field. It might be people that you don't even know, but God knows. He would bridge in the gap that you can't bridge in by yourself. And if you try to do it, you will mess it up. Have you ever tried to get close to some friends, some people, and you're going about it in a very awkward way? Just because you want to be friends? You're acting weird? I've been there before. You know what? You just want to be close to somebody and then you start acting stupid. But you don't have to do this with God. You just have to trust Him through the process. He will make the connection. He will bring in the right people at the right time. You just trust and nurture with prayer. The earnest, persistent prayer of a righteous man has great power. Would you just trust the prayer and not try to make it happen? Trust the prayer to produce wonderful results. Not because of your prayer, but because of what God can do through you earnestly praying. That's what it is about. Can you pray like Elijah prayed? Just like what we talked about last week. Can you pray and be humble, undignified in such a way when you pray like Elijah prayed? Are you ready to make yourself look like a fool going around and going and making prayer circle when you're walking around? People are like, what is this guy up to? What is he doing in the rain, walking around and praying? That's pretty not very dignified way of going around, right? I mean, now I'm dressed up. I've got extra stuff. I can go and walk around in the rain. I did not have. Well, yeah, look at this. See? I can go and walk around in the rain and not get soaked. Because I remember walking around and getting all soaked. But I trusted the process of nurturing the vision. Third one and final one is this. Persistent stewardship requires something we don't like to hear a whole lot. Starts with the letter W. And that's wait. Nobody likes to wait. We're going to Anchorage tomorrow. There's going to be a whole lot of waiting. Because when you go to a big place, there's a lot of people. You have to wait in line. You have to wait in line to get a table in a restaurant. Here, you don't have to wait. I've never waited anywhere. When I just walk in and say, I need a table. You know, over there, you're going to have to call ahead and do all this stuff. I don't need to do this on Kodiak. But waiting is something we don't like to do very much. We're not very trained in the art. It's really an art of waiting. This is what the Word of God says about waiting. And it's tied in with what I just spoke about. It's tied in with a vision. It says, write the vision. Whatever God has spoken, the vision is something that God has given to you and just you, not to anybody else. Write the vision, make it plain on a tablet. See, even back then, God was talking about tablets. Make it plain on a tablet that he who runs, that he may run who reads it. So basically on a tablet, you can run and read your tablet at the same time. He says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. For what? For an appointed time. A time that God has set aside, basically. But at the end, it will speak, it will not lie. Though it tarries, tarries mean it's going to take a little time. Okay? Though it tarries, wait for it. And I love this last part. It says, because it will surely come. Surely. It's a guarantee it will come. You write it down on a tablet so that when you run, when you go about doing your business, God is not saying, I'm giving you a dream and now you need to shut yourself in and just nurture that dream. You go about your business. Do whatever you need to do. Go do your job. But nurture the dream that God has given to you. In the quiet, or in your quiet time, that the word that God has spoken to you, you nurture that. You write it down on a tablet. Basically, the tablet is here. You've written this dream that God has given to you on this tablet. This tablet, you may run with it. You can take it anywhere you go. And he says, wait for it. Wait for the at the appointed time. It will surely speak. That vision will speak. Basically, that vision will come to pass. Wait for it. It will surely come. The appointed time. God's time. The right time. That's what we must do. Nurture that vision. Nurture that vision with dreams, with prayer. Nurture that dream, what God has given, with the prayer. Surround it with prayer. Draw a prayer circle around it. And wait for it to happen. Don't just quit when you don't see what God is doing. The change would happen from within. So as we close, as we're closing this series on stewardship, I want you to reflect on a few things. But the one thing that I want you to reflect on today is this. What is that seed that you've put